This is a difficult subject, and I do sense demonic activity, as I always do when I preach about what the Bible says about the devil and demons, which unfortunately many Christians don't believe the Bible anymore, and they don't believe that the devil exists. But I'm like that boxer who said somebody is beating me up in that ring, when his corner man, his coach, kept saying, "He's not laying a hand on you. He's not laying a hand on you." And that's just a lie. Somebody is boxing my head. Somebody is fighting me. And somebody is fighting everybody who names the name of Christ and stands up for the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel and praying for souls to be saved. The story of Jesus and the graveyard demoniacs. The true story of Jesus and the graveyard demoniacs. As I was reading this passage even today, this is part two, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 620, since January the 20th, 2017, day 987, since January the 1st, 2016. As I was reading this passage today, I said to myself, "Self, you cannot make this up. This is a true account. This is a true story. This is not a fable. This is not a non-fiction piece." Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. "And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes." Now that's how someone pronounces it. Don't get all caught up in that. Many times people just be saying things. I have called them the Gergesenes. "There met him two possessed with devils." Notice how specific, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is about this. For so many of us today, this is nebulous, it's not clear. I don't know if it's the devil or not. Let me help you. If it talks like the devil, if it walks like the devil, if it acts like the devil, you're dealing with the devil. Amen, somebody. And just like you can know them by their fruits regarding Christians, you can know them by their fruits regarding demon-possessed people. You will always find them at the bottom of the heap of a mess and confusion and consternation and trouble and problems and issues and gossip and mess going on. They love it. They love chaos. You know that, don't you? Devils love chaos. They love confusion. They love things not going well. They have a deep sickness in their minds. You can tell them by their negative fruits. "There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs." They love living in dark areas. I'm reminded of a show when I was a little boy, teenager rather. Strangely, one of our favorite shows was named Dark Shadows. We would beat the bushes and beat a pathway home to watch that demonic show, Dark Shadows. Demon-possessed people, they love dark stuff. They perk up. Go ahead and reset that. They perk up when something evil comes around. Demon-possessed women love dark men. That's why they've always referred to them as the tall, dark, and the handsome. They're not talking about dark as black. There are many women who despise black men. Dark, you know, mysterious, has an evil way about them, kind of naughty. Demon-possessed people, they love darkness. They don't like the light. You hear people talking about sometimes the lighting is not right. I mean, it's too much light up in here. They lower those lights down so I can enjoy some darkness. They don't mind a little candlelight where they can worship the devil in. They met him too possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce. You may have to push these demon-possessed people's buttons, but below the surface, that demon, that fierce demon, will come out. Coming out of the tombs, graveyards, they feel comfortable around death, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus?" Demon-possessed people, they know who the real Christians are. I'm sure you are reminded with me about the folks who were trying to act like Jesus and Paul and do some spiritual work or something they were trying to do. And the demon said, "Now, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And so many people are mixed up, and so many people are messed up today by going church hopping, going from one church to another, allowing people to put all kinds of folk, put hands on you, child molesters, demon-possessed people, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, that's right. Some pastors have had homosexuals put their hands on them, lay hands on them. Black and white alike. You don't know what kind of spirits you have. Some of you people don't know what kind of spirits you have in you. All you know is that a few years ago, you didn't act the way you're acting right now. You're not talking the way, you were not talking the way you're talking right now. Some of you never cursed in your life, but you let somebody lay hands on you who's a curser and a demon-possessed person, and they curse all the time. Ungodly things come out of their mouths. You better be careful. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us?" Before the time, they knew who Jesus was. And they can tell of you the real deal as well. "And there was a good way off, and there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils, the demons, besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. I release you. Go. I cast you out. Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. That's what the devil wants to do with you, dear friend. He wants to drive you to your death. You cannot make this up, people. It would take you a billion years to make up something like this. You won't find this in the movies. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. I want to encourage all Christian parents, bring your children home. Bring your children home. You know why children get the notion, get the idea to kill their fellow classmates? It's not because somebody was picking on them. That's just an excuse. The devil is telling them to do that. They are demon possessed. See, today, folks, you can watch and look at anything online now. And demon possessed people, they love, the darker it is, the better. You wonder why your child is acting crazy? You sent him out in a blue jeans suit. He came back in the summertime with a long black trench coat and a black hat turned backwards and some black lipstick, black nails, and some black spike boots. You were getting ready to call the police when you saw him come up to the door because you didn't recognize your own child. He's running with the wrong crowd. Bring your children home, folks, and homeschool your children. You'll be glad you did. There's no amount of money that's going to get it done. Bring your children home. Keep them safe, and you teach them. They'll turn out better. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. You talk about earth's madness. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. Help us never to look down our nose at the sins of others if we have not confessed and turned from our own sins and repented. Wash and cleanse our souls, our spirits, our hearts and minds in the precious blood of Christ and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow on the inside. Lord, cast out every foul devil, every demon from hell, every satanic spirit from this place and from your people. Lord, there are some people disturbed. There are some people worried, fearful, because of what I'm preaching on tonight. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. I'm just preaching your holy word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, telling folks about Jesus, your holy son, our Savior, and what he did and how he died for our sins, was buried and rose again to set us free from the power of darkness and the devil and hell. And so, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears Lord, grant us fresh unction and anointing from on high. Lord, do what you do with your holy word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us a mighty long way. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor, for all of it is due your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, again we want to thank the Lord for each and every one of you, all of you people. Some of you come every night, and your encouragement is appreciated. Your prayers are appreciated. Your amens, your likes, your inviting others, and many of you are gathering people around, your soul winners, because at the end of the day, you know this preacher is going to preach the gospel every time, very clearly and to the point. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Some of us will never meet down here. I've been to many of your countries before, and so many of you want me to come back. But when I can preach the gospel right from here and reach the entire world with the new technology, it's very difficult to leave that behind. In fact, one of the reasons why you want me to come to your country and to your ministry and church and hold a crusade is because you have heard me for years right through the cameras that we have here. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Continue to pray for us. If God has blessed you, stand with us in other ways as we want to stand with you. So, beloved, the text at hand is a very serious situation. It's a very serious matter. As we return to this difficult passage to deal with, we are going to take a close look at the circumstances surrounding the demon-possessed men who met Jesus after he and his disciples landed on the Gerasene shore, as some pronounce it. The first thing we notice is that they were coming out of tombs. Now, when you see a half-naked man or naked man who is obviously living around the graveyard and running out of tombs violently, threatening you, now you know you have a demon on your hand. But now, don't be too shocked, because for some reason, and I hate to bring this up, but when we were younger, I'm not going to name the town, but it starts with a J. For some stupid reason, for some wicked reason, and we were so lost, we didn't know it was wicked. We thought it was something we were supposed to do. For some satanic reason, when it was time to, as teenagers, to start having sex, which was almost like a rite of passage, we chose the graveyard. God have mercy. Not somebody's bed somewhere. Not a hotel room. But a graveyard that was right down the street, right in the corner leading up to the middle school. That ought to tell you something. Demon-possessed people, people led by demons and people who are doing wrong, they love dark places like that. The graveyard. The first thing we notice is that they were coming out of the tombs. These demon-possessed men lived in a graveyard. And many demon-possessed people today live in a hellhole situation. A dark and dirty, filthy situation. Of all the places the demons could have driven these men to live, they felt most comfortable, ladies and gentlemen, among a symbol of their father, the devil's greatest scheme, the introduction of death into the human race. The devil drove them to where they're going to end up anyway, in the grave. What is this fascination, if you will, today about death? Many young people fantasize about death. A whole popular show that some have been fighting to pull off the air is based upon young people killing themselves. Now, if you don't understand that the devil is doing that to your mind, you're blind and you cannot see afar off. You're in deep trouble. Because, my dear friend, death is final. Whatever's on the other side is final. Hell is final. And you can listen to these little pastors all you want to, but I would not die. I would not commit suicide hoping that I get to heaven. And I'm not, that's not smart. Okay, that's very dumb. Well, I did this and that. I know I'm going to heaven. So I might as well go ahead and take my own life and get on up there in a hurry. I wouldn't trust that, my dear friend. Listen to me very carefully. I'm not that convinced that people who commit suicide go to heaven. No matter what they did. Something is wrong somewhere. What is this? What is this? This fascination with death. One pastor recently killed himself telling his father, he was talking to his father when he should have been talking to God. His father had already died, saying, I'm not going to be at peace, Daddy, until I come home to be with you. I said, oh, my soul. After a while, by and by, we're going to have a situation in America where churches are going to do what they did with other sins, like divorce and other things. They're going to create a ministry to comfort those who are thinking about committing suicide and to help guide them in their mission to kill themselves. You mark my words. It's a shame before God. This element of their inverness all the way down, all the way down. You yourself. This element of their inverness highlights the ultimate work of the devil in our own lives. His path always leads to death. Jesus said that the devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're still living tonight, it's by the grace of God, and you need to take advantage of it. Demon possession or any other work of the devil always leads to spiritual death, and oftentimes leads to physical death. Is happening every day. If you are an alert person, if you are a person who pays attention to what's going on, the devil is killing folks left and right each and every day, leading them to death. There's a huge uptick in suicides. Why? Why? Oh, well, people are being overwhelmed by life, and oh, you know, it's the millennial generation today. Oh, it's the young people today. But oh, really, why? Because of broken homes and so forth. And the devil is behind all of that. Ultimately, it is the devil leading people to kill themselves. The devil led Judas to kill himself instead of trust Christ as Savior. Ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, we all die as a result of sin. That thing which Satan introduced into the world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death all day long. The wages of sin is death every day of the week. Those who are under the most severe cases of demonic influence can be said to be trapped in a living death. There are some listening to me right now. You're uncomfortable. You know why? Because you have a demon living inside of you. You're troubled. You had a bad day today because you heard this message last night and you knew part two was coming. And the devil is rising up inside of you, making you think all kinds of stupid thoughts, telling you to run to your death. Just like those swine. The demon-possessed men had no life of their own. Demon-possessed people are always searching, always agitated, can't stand, watch this, can't stand being alone. Never happy, never cheerful, never joyful. They have a problem focusing on getting things done. They don't have that normal desire to accomplish things in life because the devil is constantly pushing them to their death, trying to push them over the cliff. Their bodies were only being used to do as the devil pleased, in constant motion. Have you ever heard the phrase, work like a demon? They're always moving, always, not for good things, not for good reasons, always trying to get it. They have a hard time sleeping. They're constantly accusing other people and violent towards other people and hateful towards other people and lying on other people, pointing the finger at other people. That's why the people can never pass by the graveyard, because these violent, demon-possessed men would run out of the tombs and scare the daylights out of them, mess with them, molest them. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we notice that these demon-possessed men are cut off from their fellow man. The Greek word translated as fierce means hard, harsh, mean, hateful, or savage. I tell people, you don't need to try to find a husband. You don't need to try to find a wife. Nobody's going to live with you. You're too mean. You're too hateful. You're savage. You always want to have your way. You're harsh. You never smile. You're never pleased with anything. There are people in the world who don't need to get married because they will make their spouses' lives a pure hell because they're demon-possessed. Their bodies are just used by the devil. A person who is hard to approach and a person who is hard to get along with, a person who can't be pleasant, just chooses not to be pleasant. There's some demon activity going on. The demons had driven these men out of their cities, away from their families, and into the graveyard, a dark place. No doubt, in those early days after their possession, demon possession, their mothers came and offered food. You know how sweet mothers do. Fathers came and pled with their sons to control the darkness on the inside of them. Maybe they tried to take them out of the graveyard to Starbucks down the street. And they didn't even want to do that. They walked very rigidly, mad as the devil. Demon-possessed people act very strange. It's hard for them to look at you. They can't look at you in the face because they know they're lying. They can't enjoy pleasant things like a cup of coffee and talking with your family member. They get very rigid on you, and frigid and cold. And you can be talking to them 1 minute for about 5 or 6 minutes, and they'll freeze up on you. And they'll say something, "I'm ready to go." Normally they can't. They don't talk up loud, or they talk very fast, so you can't understand what they're saying. They don't communicate well. In the Bible, demons would cause people to be deaf and dumb. Sisters, brothers, friends came by hotel graveyard and said, "Remember me? Remember when we did this together? Do you remember that?" They don't have a great memory about things that were fun in the past. They act like they don't even know you. "Come back to us. Come back to the fold. Come back to the family," they say. But the devil always drives people away and creates division and hatred and animosity and bitterness. He steals lives and destroys family ties. That's what the devil specializes in. That's why we have so many Christian families destroyed. So many families are destroyed before they even get started good. Because there were a whole lot of people at the wedding, but you did not count the devil. He was there too. The last thing the devil wants is for Christian people to get married to honor Christ together. When we look at the world today, we see demonic influence still at work in this manner. Fathers and mothers killing their spouses is happening every day in some of the strangest places. Neighbors killing neighbors on a mass scale. Little children being shot and killed, and even targeted and raped and molested. Random acts of violence that further entrench mistrust and hatred. However, Jesus came into the world to undo death and break down the divisions that had arisen not only between man and God, but between man and fellow man. No one else had been able to reach these two demoniacs, the town and their families had given up on them as a lost cause. They begin to leave them there in the graveyard at night, sitting on tombstones, sleeping on graves. But Jesus' arrival on the Gerasene shore brought hope and light to the darkest of circumstances. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you been born again? Have you been set free from the devils and the demons of hell? Have you believed on Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Bernard of Marley said, "The world is very evil. The times are waxing late. Be sober and keep vigil. The judge is at the gate. The judge who comes in mercy. The judge who comes in might. Who comes to end the evil. Who comes to crown the right." You do not have to live a life filled with devils and demons, living in darkness, hating people, being mean, being unhappy, not being cheerful and joyful. You can live a life of joy and peace, and you can live a life that you will be content, and you will enjoy the life that God has given to you through Jesus Christ. So may I lovingly encourage you to trust Christ as Savior today. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. You don't have to give any money to be saved. All you have to do is trust in Christ. Understand that you are a sinner. We are all sinners. You must accept that fact, that you and I have broken God's laws and his commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God, and so therefore we're all guilty, no matter how pretty you are, no matter how handsome you think you are, no matter how much money you have. Your money can't buy this salvation. And so secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven when he said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. These are they who will go to hell. In Revelation 21:8, the Bible gives a list of people going to hell, but the fearful. People too afraid to trust Christ as Savior because they think they may be persecuted by their family members and their friends. The unbelieving, the so-called agnostics, the so-called atheists of the day, who don't believe in God, they're going to hell. and the abominable, people who commit abominable acts such as the abomination of homosexuality, they're going to hell. And murderers are going to hell, people who kill other people. The man who the other day killed his wife and buried her in a shallow grave, and a beautiful wife and girls, beautiful girls. When a father kills his girls, you know, it can't be long. It can't be long. And whoremongers, that includes male and female, men and women who have sex with anybody they want, who go to orgies and do all kinds of ungodly, wicked things in God's sight, when he wants everybody to be in holy matrimony between a man and a wife, and no other parties, no polyamory, no polygamy. And sorcerers, these are they who are going to hell, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, astrology and all of that, kind of stuff, the zodiac, all of that demonic activity. People who practice that will go to hell one day, and idolaters, people who worship and praise and follow anything or anybody besides God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire, with fire and brimstone, pardon me, which is the second death. All of these people who were listed by God will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Did you see yourself? Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you, dear friend. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, no matter how wicked you are, even if you just came out of the satanic temple, you can still be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Make it very clear. The gospel is very clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven with God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. You can be saved today because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And all you have to do is believe on him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And God has a guarantee for you in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How about it, dear friend? Are you ready to be saved tonight? Well, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some 2,000 years ago, he suffered very badly. He bled his precious blood on the cross, his holy, pure blood, sinless blood, on the cross for your sins and mine, was buried and rose again on the third day. There has never been a story like it in the history of the world, and never will be. It's the greatest story ever told. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You can give $1 billion, you still, that will not save you. Only faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so pray and ask him to save your soul tonight, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including yours and mine. So follow me in prayer right now and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways right now. And help me to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you immediately. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.